my God. Welcome in to the House of L podcast. I'm having a hard time with this particular episode. Because occasionally I think things are a really good idea, and I'll put them out there, and it turns out that I'm right. And this beautiful disaster that you were getting ready to listen to is one of the funniest things that we have produced at House of L. And I am so happy that it went almost exactly the way that I drew it up in my mind. Oh, my God. I will explain more about that in a minute. I will explain more what my motivation was in putting these three human beings together on an episode of the podcast. And the thing, getting what it is that we got, oh, my God, from this. But I do need to tell you, I want to make sure that we are good to our sponsor, because once this train starts rolling, I don't want it to stop. So I want to tell you, if you or your family are looking to purchase a new home, you need to do what I did and call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender. That's right. I'm actually a client of David Hochberg. He helped me with the condo in Kenwood and the house in Hyde Park. Meet Aria, 30, web designer, making $90,000 a year, who was purchasing her first home, so she called her dad, Bob, for advice. Bob advised Aria to call the only lender that he trusted, Team Hochberg, so that they could help his young daughter purchase her first home. Aria followed dad's advice and called Team Hochberg for free consultation. Team Hochberg answered all of Aria's questions, pulled her credit, and preliminarily approved her for a mortgage. Team Hochberg also introduced Aria to a Team Hochberg trusted realtor who's helping her locate a home, and introduced her to real estate attorney David Schletter. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of podcast listeners like Bob help their kids like Aria understand the home buying process, locate a home, and secure their first mortgage. But they cannot help if you don't call. This is what I try to tell you. David helped me. He can help you. If you're buying a home or you're refinancing a loan, call him. 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. That's 855-863-2843 or visit 56david.com. Tune in to the Home Sweet Home Chicago show hosted by David Saturday morning after House Smarts at 10. Homeside Financial is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1124061. And I'm sure that David is very proud to be associated with this episode of the podcast. I'm sure he will tell people about being associated with this episode of the podcast. Okay, let me tell you about my motivation here. We have a little family at the nighttime show. Even though my show is on middays now, there's still a family of when it used to be on at night. There's me, there's Joe, there's Herbie, Tanny is part of that family, Melissa Rakitis, a.k.a. Roki, Tony Gill, Chris Ranji. I'm sure I'm leaving some people out. Pretty much anyone that was around the nighttime show, if you were doing updates, we occasionally will get together as a group and just hang out. At least we did during the pandemic, like on Zoom, and just bust on each other. Like, that's kind of the goal. Like, we just, it's fun. It's a really fun, would do anything for each other type family that enjoys making fun of each other. So when I saw that Roki had echoed a horrible take that Tony Gill gave us about oatmeal raisin cookies, I'm like, okay, we need to address this. We need this. And I, seeing that Ranji was on the other side of the argument, because Ranji's almost always going to be on the other side of the argument that Roki throws. Like, that's just a thing. I said, we've got to put this down, like, on wax. I know that's an old reference, but you understand what I'm saying. People need to hear this nonsense. So I texted Ranji and I said, listen, I would like for you to do an episode of the podcast. He's like, about what? I said, I want you to talk about oatmeal raisin cookies. He's like, why? And I went through all of the stuff that was going on Twitter with us talking about it. There's a thread. You can check out Roki's thread or Tony's thread or Ranji's thread, and you'll find it. My thread, too. I think I retweeted Roki's tweet because it's so awful. And I knew that if I put these three people in a room, even if the room was virtual, it would end up being phenomenal. I laughed on the way into this episode because I had just finished listening to the episode. Some things you need to know. Roki has a potty mouth. She always has. She always will. Ranji texted me and said, do you want me to leave the cuss words that Roki had in? And I said, yes. I want you to leave them in, but I want you to bleep them. Here's my philosophy, and you may disagree with me on this. I think bleep words are funnier, especially when it's Roki, because she is so flagrant. And the other thing you need to know, Roki comes from a pious family. Like, they are devout Christians. So when she goes rogue like this, it's even funnier to me. So Ranji texts me and is like, what should I do? I said, I want you to bleep out the really, really bad word. Like, there's really, like, a lot of stuff I'm going to let go on House of L. The F word and the 12-letter word that has the F word in it, I can't let go. And Roki cusses a lot. So we left it in. I'm so happy that you got the chance, that they were all available, and they were going to do this. I'm so happy that they did this. I'm not here to rank things for you. But I will tell you, to me, this is the funniest episode that we've ever produced at House of L. So I'm going to get out of the way of it, which was the whole point why I wasn't in the episode. And if you were wondering what my life was like when I had all of these people working with me on the nighttime show, this is the stuff that was going on during breaks. This is the stuff that was going on when I was doing interviews. So think about that. Think about the circus that is going on behind the radio show that you listen to. And know that inside the producer's studio, think of it this way. Here's all you need. Visualize this. Visualize that I'm on the air doing something that is semi-important because it is still sports. Imagine that I am doing an interview, and in the producer studio, Roki and Tony are producing the show, and Chris Ranji's doing updates and is wandering into the producer studio to start a fight. And imagine that this is all going on while I'm on the air. This is what would happen on a nightly basis on the nighttime show, whether it was Roki and Ranji, or Roki and Joe, or Herb and Tony, or Tanny Herb and Tony. This is my life. This is it. And I wanted you to experience it. I don't know how you feel about oatmeal raisin cookies, but after you hear this, you're going to feel a certain way. Okay? Here's Chris Ranji, Melissa Rakaitis, and Tony Gill doing the things that they always do.
For some reason, Lawrence wanted us to talk to each other. And I think it's because, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. Well, first of all, it's Melissa Rakaitis. and she's live from Boston. And Tony Gilfish. Tony Gill's my dude with NBC Sports, and he's covering the Bulls, and he's doing great at that and all the content on NBC Sports in Chicago. And Rakitis, who the hell knows what you're doing? But you did yesterday, for some reason, tweet about oatmeal raisin cookies. And your tweet was, just to remind you, that oatmeal raisin cookies are better than chocolate chip cookies, which is outrageous. And your exact words were, are oatmeal raisin cookies better than chocolate chip, or am I just old?
Yeah.
That's what you said. Okay.
Some people replied saying that didn't make sense, but that makes perfect sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Well, because old people like oatmeal raisin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And Fish responded to it, and, you know, he had the Michael Scott gif saying, thank you. Thank you. Somebody finally said it. Like, somebody finally said this. Which,
yeah, this is a battle that I've been fighting basically my entire professional career.
Yes.
I've gotten into fights with Joe Madden over the year.
What do you mean you got into a fight with Joe Madden?
Yeah, when Lawrence first started his midday show, we had a weekly guest, which was Joe Madden. So at the end of Joe's interviews, we would discuss something funny or quirky or whatever, just to, you know, get some laughs. And our very first one was our debate over oatmeal raisin and chocolate chip cookies. And he completely disrespected the oatmeal raisin cookie. And I had to call him out on it. I don't care if he was the manager of the Cubs.
Okay, well, first of all, what did he say? Like, do you remember his exact words?
No, that was like more than a year ago.
Okay.
Or so ago. But I remember specifically because, like, how often do producers just jump on air in front of an interview, especially the interview, a paid interview
at the Score all the time
of the Cubs? I could not contain myself.
Okay,
like, Joe, what are you talking about?
So then, did he respond to you with disdain, anger? How was it? What did he say to you?
I mean, he was in on the bid, but he was fairly serious about his take on the situation. And
okay.
As I was telling him, he was wrong.
Okay, well, you don't, right. Like, I'm not here to say that's a wrong opinion, but I think people need to give oatmeal raisin cookies more credit.
Okay,
yeah.
So my response to the two of you was, quote, oatmeal raisin is a disaster.
Yeah, because you've not had a good oatmeal raisin.
No.
Okay,
that's not even the thing, Rocky. It's I can tell you so many times I've had an awful chocolate chip cookie, but I've also had good chocolate chip cookies. Right?
They're mostly good.
It's crazy.
They're mostly good.
There is no bad way you can have an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Yes, there is.
I've never had a bad oatmeal raisin cookie in my life.
That's a strong opinion.
That really is
a fact.
Okay. First of all, the reason that that there are so many opportunities to screw up a chocolate chip cookie is because it is very clearly the most popular kind of cookie.
But it can still taste really good.
And there are so many different people trying it, you know? Like that you've got the the instant kind that are in the little tube, and then you slice them up and you put them on the baking sheet, and then you put them in the oven, or you can make them yourself, and every business is trying to perfect it, you know, the chocolate chip cookie. Nobody gives a crap about the oatmeal raisin because it's so bad.
No.
When was the last time you had an oatmeal raisin cookie?
Okay, all right, and this was your response to me. You called me an idiot, first of all.
Because you are.
I said oatmeal raisin is a disaster, which it is, objectively terrible. And you said you're an idiot because you always call me an idiot. And I think Fish agreed with you. And you said, when's the last time you've had one? And my response to you is, if I've decided something is terrible, because it is terrible, why would I have some more of it?
Because
you know, like, why would I?
Long time.
Have you
Your
ever?
Taste buds change.
Have you ever taken spoiled milk out of the fridge, not realized it was spoiled, taken a sip, and then you said,
false
"Oh my!"
equivalency.
They go, "That's spoiled." You know what? Let me try it again just to make sure. Have you ever done that before?
You're being very dramatic.
I'm not.
Your taste buds change every 7 years. when you, it's
wait, hold on, hold on a second.
Since you
okay,
have,
wait, did you just pull that out, or did you? Is that real?
There's a scientific proof.
Where did you hear that?
I read it on the internet.
You did? What, on Facebook? Are you getting your news from Facebook?
No, it was Parler.
It was a Parler. Jesus. Okay, no.
No, but seriously.
Parler would probably tell you that, and oatmeal raisin is good.
But you know what I'm saying. Your taste buds do change, and you haven't had one in a long time.
My taste buds haven't, okay.
They have. You're telling me you liked tomatoes when you were a kid.
No, but when I was an adult, I liked them. I've been well into adulthood for a long time.
Okay, so you could have not liked oatmeal raisin cookies when you were a kid.
No.
What is your beef specifically with the oatmeal raisin? Yeah. That you disrespect it so much.
Okay, it's how do I put this simply? It doesn't taste good. That's the simplest way I can put it. It just doesn't. Okay, I like oatmeal raisin. I like oatmeal. I like raisins. I don't like the combination of the two of them together. I think it's abhorrent. It's really bad.
Buttery, yeah, and gooey, and delicious, and soft.
I can get that in chocolate chip, and you get chocolate
on a rare occasion, though. You can't go to like when you even go to the store, and you get like Chips Ahoy. That's always going to be hard. It's always
okay.
Gonna be,
that's
like, possibly chip a tube, depending on how long it's been there.
But you're basically
never have a hard oatmeal raisin cookie.
You are basing. You're basing your entire opinion of chocolate chip cookies on Chips Ahoy, which are very not usual. They might be like kind of the most popular, but that is very unusual. It's not like it's not typical. You know what I mean?
You will have a more sturdier cookie experience more than likely with chocolate chip in any random situation than you would an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Okay.
That's a fact.
I've never heard
of
such a thing.
It's always specific. Oh, do you want this warm? Like, you have to preface it with warm chocolate chip in order for you to know that it's going to be a soft cookie. You never have to.
But why does it? It doesn't have to be soft. There's value in the crunchy ones, too, and I'll tell you what the value is. The value in a Chips Ahoy or a Famous Amos, which are also really good, the value is they absorb a lot of milk. So if you're going to, you know, do the milk thing, then it makes a lot of sense because they're really good together.
I rarely have cookies with milk.
You know what? I think you're an old fart. Who the hell drinks milk? That's disgusting.
I'm not drinking the milk, but you put it. Have you ever heard of milk in cookies?
Yeah.
Am I the first person in the world?
Get some almond milk.
Thank you. He has oat milk.
Oat milk is really good. I'm really liking the oat milk. Do you know what's good about oat milk?
With oatmeal raisin cookie.
No, all right. Now you're absurd. What's good about oat milk? Well, let me start with what's bad about almond milk. The bad thing about it is it doesn't get cold enough. Almond milk, if you've noticed, gets like the coldest it gets is like a little bit above lukewarm in the fridge. But oat milk gets really, really cold if you keep it in the fridge. So that's why it's better. And I think it's just got a better taste. So if you want to replace your milk with something, your dairy milk, then you need to go with the oat milk. You're welcome for that tip.
Yeah, thank you. I was dying to know which milk of choice you prefer.
Wait for 5 years when Ranji, he's got to get dentures. You'll go to the oatmeal raisin because you have to. You will never have another chocolate chip cookie again. You will have to go to oatmeal raisin if you want to enjoy it.
Let me say something about the two of you. You're two of my favorite crackpots in the entire world. Both of you.
No, I was only going to say, I think Tony does have some ridiculous opinion.
Oh, there's no question about it. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. We're going to get to Tony and whatever is going on in his brain because there's something happened. Like, there's a... I don't know what's going on with Tony. So Tony has these ideas, these really absurd ideas. So I don't know if there's somewhere in his mind from point A to point B, if there's an extra step or if he's skipping a step. I don't know what it is, but like somewhere between the beginning and the end of a thought, there's a derailment. And I don't know how he gets to some of these ideas. Let's start with this. What is your favorite conspiracy right now? There's got to be one right now that you are just absolutely sold on.
My favorite right now is that the NBA is more WWE than actual competition.
I haven't heard you say this yet. This is not the conspiracy I thought you were going to come with. I thought it was going to be about 9/11 or something. But no, you're
right now.
So are you saying that you think it's made up and that it's rigged and that the outcome is already known?
I think the league is an entertainment industry and wants to have the results that will provide the most and optimal amount of money and entertainment value. And I don't think we think about that part enough, that like when we say, oh, like he's going to get that call, or if somebody complains about one game not getting enough calls and they get a bunch of calls the next game, we don't really think about that as much. Like, wait, no, if the ref doesn't think that he needs that call, he shouldn't get that call. Or if a rookie gets needs to get a call and they don't get it, well, we say he'll get it when he's like a more veteran or he's a more seasoned player.
Well,
like,
you know what though?
That's kind of ridiculous when you think about it, that we kind of play with that, but that's an actual thing. Like in the midst of competition, we're okay with the people that we want to see more on television benefiting more than the person that we don't necessarily like in a competition game.
I don't know if, and that's a thing that people have said forever. And it's not just about basketball, though. You talk about it in baseball with the veteran strike zone. You know, famously, it was the Greg Maddux strike zone, that he's getting an inch or two off the plate because he's Greg Maddux. So people have been doing this for forever. And I think it happens in football, too, when it comes to the quarterback who gets a lot of preference. But here's what I don't think. I don't think that officials are going out of their way to do it. I think it's subconscious, and I don't think it's predetermined before the game. I don't think there's a meeting or an email or an exploding message that says, make sure Steph gets all the calls tonight, and then poof, you know, the message blows up.
I think it goes that far.
No, it does not,
Tony. I think
Tony.
It does go that far.
Then who's delivering the message?
David Stern.
No.
David Stern's dead.
Still, David Stern.
From the grave, David Stern. Do you think David Stern's not actually dead?
Yeah, I think he made it far enough where he's frozen like Walt Disney.
Okay, you're joking.
Wait, that's true.
Fish, you're joking now, right? You don't believe that.
Those dudes made a lot of money for a lot of important people. I wouldn't be surprised if they are set up
Tony.
To return in 2045.
What, David Stern?
And Walt Disney.
What is this? Hold on. What is this about Walt Disney? You think Walt Disney's frozen somewhere and he's coming back?
Yeah, I think so. Some version of Walt Disney. Either they froze his DNA and gonna implant it in somewhere to recreate so he can be reborn. Or he's just really frozen somewhere. What's underneath Disney World? Nobody knows.
What's underneath Disney World?
You've never heard this theory, Ron?
No.
What?
What are you talking about?
He's too old, Tony. He's too old.
Wait, no. Okay, whatever this
is. There's a whole theory that Walt Disney's frozen underneath Walt Disney World. This has been a rumor going around forever.
That's why there hasn't been any cameras or any exclusives or any stories about what goes on at Disney World, because he's down there.
No, it's because they want people to believe in magic, and real quick, little children everywhere
come on.
Will realize.
Guys, you do not believe this.
I don't.
Fish.
I'm not saying that I don't believe it.
Okay, so all right, hold on. What's the benefit of freezing Walt Disney and bringing him back like 50 years later? What good does that do?
I don't know. You're reaching into the epitome of greed in the human being.
But there are other people who could do what Disney did.
Huh?
There are other creative people. You don't need him to come back.
But it's not even the creative part. It's the control.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pulling part. Look at how much Disney owns, just in general, like the corner of the world that they own. It's the greed, the selfish part of it. Like, no, I'm not like the average human. I am going to come back and I'm going to return even.
Oh, okay. So you're
he's
saying
not like f-ing Captain America, he's an actual human. You can't just freeze a human and think like they're going to come back to life.
We don't know that.
You're saying that Disney, in his own mind, he was so powerful that he's like, I ain't done with this. So as soon as you figure out a way to reanimate me, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is your girlfriend? Like, I mean, do you just have these kinds of conversations with your girlfriend? She hasn't left
you? I have to be able to express myself fully. Otherwise, you're not for me.
Wait, can we talk about your girlfriend?
All right. Can we start with Bumble? Because Tony, you found a lady with Bumble.
Yes.
Right. Is your theory about Walt Disney on the Bumble profile?
It is not.
Well, he doesn't have his Bumble profile anymore.
Anymore, yeah. I deleted it.
Wait, so was it on there?
No.
Was something
what was
else?
Your bio? What was your bio on Bumble?
I kept it short and sweet. I was like, I'm not that tall, so if you're tall guys, you know, whatever.
Got right to the chase.
Right. Because I don't want to catfish anybody. Like, I mean, I got a pretty decent smile. And they're like, oh, he works in sports. He must be tall. No, it's not like that whatsoever.
My name's Tony. I cover the Bulls. Walt Disney isn't quite dead yet.
I was like,
and she swiped right.
I'm a creative, so it helps if you are, so we can exchange ideas and whatnot. I'm a avid churchgoer, so if you don't like that, well, you know, it is what it is. And I think that was generally it. Yeah, I kept it short, and hopefully my pictures, and I had a picture of a dog that helped.
So. That always.
Oh yeah,
helps.
You always have to do that.
I have two dogs, so I took up two slots.
Do you have dogs for that reason?
It didn't hurt.
Probably right.
Okay.
It did not hurt.
All right. So you you met this lady through Bumble.
Did you start dating in quarantine?
We did. October. We started dating in October.
Okay. So right. You had to do the whole outdoor thing.
No. We went on dates like through August, September. Then we started officially dating in October, like exclusively.
Okay. So you hang out in person. What was your first in-person date like?
She was quieter than I thought a person should be.
Okay. Well,
I'm confused. What's your expectations for how noisy someone should be?
No, it's just, I felt like I was starting all the conversations.
Okay.
Like, I was going like in the bag the whole time, like just figuring out like all the stuff that I read.
Interviewing.
How to start, whatever, like everything.
So you were interviewing
her. The majority of the time.
But you did like online meeting, right? Did you do any like Zoom or Skyping or FaceTiming beforehand?
No.
Okay.
No.
You guys went right for it. Quarantine.
Yeah, like, well, it kind of worked both ways because I figured like I make content all the time. If this goes horribly wrong, I have content. So, you know.
Tony's always looking for his next
Tony,
move with content.
He is the content manager at NBC Sports Chicago. Did you make out in the first date?
No.
No. Okay.
It was like the fourth or fifth date.
Oh.
Fourth or fifth? Okay. Well, COVID.
Full makeout.
Probably like the
middle.
No, in fact, I don't know if we made out until like we actually started dating.
Yeah, because making out with someone during quarantine,
it's a commitment.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, like you've decided you like somebody during all of this. If you decide to put your mouth on them,
let's get tested first before we start making out.
Well, I already got my test and I was clear.
Oh, okay.
I was good. So I was the one risking it, basically.
Did you get?
I didn't require a test for her.
Well, did you get tested that day?
No.
Well, you could have had it.
Like today. Like we hosted at my church, we hosted COVID testing today. So we've been doing that sporadically. So every time they came by, I just got tested.
Well, you realize the COVID test is not like a syphilis test, right? Where you get it and you're clear, you're good. So then as long as you know what I mean? Like you don't need to, you could still have it.
Yeah, but I've gotten it repeatedly and it's always turned out negative. So either I got it and waited and then got it and then didn't have it anymore.
Okay.
And then got tested right after I passed and didn't have it. I don't know.
Well, you know what? We've made it this far and you guys are still together.
Yeah, so I think it's great. This is a real love story. Yeah.
So great.
Tony, what does she think about your Walt Disney conspiracy? And this is a part two question. Mm. What does she think about the Disney conspiracy? And do you have any others that you've shared with her?
I don't know if we got into the Walt Disney one specifically. I know I've said some things. Like, I cannot not be me.
Yeah.
Like, in any situation.
Right. So, and you shouldn't.
She indulges me sometimes. She's like, oh, okay.
She'll give
me one return question to know that she's not ignoring me.
Yeah. All right. Give me an example.
That's all I get.
I need an example. Please play out an example of this happening. Like, I mean, you must have at some point, you're sitting on the couch or doing whatever you're doing, watching TV, and you go, you know what? I don't really think Walt Disney is dead.
That is something I was
like. You're watching Bridgerton, and you go, I still think Walt Disney's alive, you know? She's like, what? What are you talking about? And then you go into it.
We'd be sitting next to each other in the studio, and I'm trying to focus because everyone that I've ever worked with at the score knows I can't multitask. And I would be trying to focus so hard, and Tony would just turn to me and be like, you know what? I really think, and just throw out some bull. Like, dude, I'm trying to make sure Lawrence gets on the air on time. I don't have time to hear your bull theory.
I remember one time, Ranji was doing updates, and I had been off work, I think, since like that morning, and he had like the night shift. I think he got off at like midnight or something.
Yeah,
I stayed basically the whole time, just giving him theories, just giving him. I think that's like our first time we've ever connected, Ranji.
And I don't know, dude. I don't even remember what they were. I just know they're outland.
You got the full load of Tony.
Yeah,
in that shift.
You had like, look, what was it recently? There was something in the last, oh my God, it was during the summer, I think, right? We were talking about something and you had some just outrageous thought. I mean, you have a lot of outrageous thoughts.
When was this?
When we did our Zoom call? Remember we had our...
That wasn't in the summer. Was like April.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Okay, well, all right, so it was a while ago. But didn't you, had something outlandish, didn't you?
I have so many thoughts. And so many, like, you can't just say, hey, what's that one specific? Like, no, it doesn't work like that.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was the same call. Ranji decided it was a great idea to air all of my dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Closest friends.
Yeah.
As if I still have yet to plot my murder for that.
I was surprised at how well Melissa took all of that. I was just sitting there like, wow, she's taking this like a champ.
Well,
there now. What are you going to do?
Rocky, okay, the reason that she was okay with it is that deep down she wants people to know that she's just an absolute freak.
You're so dumb. That is literally not anything I want anyone to know.
Yeah, it is.
And when I I told you.
And now you brought it up, and people listening to this right now are going to want to know what you're talking about.
We're past time.
Oh my God, Melissa!
Listen to this. If Lawrence puts this out,
oh, he is putting this out.
Oh yeah, he's probably gonna want
it. I'm not doing this for the hell of it. I mean, I wanted to talk to you guys because Fish, you're one of my favorite people, and I get how it works. It's just a mess. It's just whatever's going on up there is going on, and I love it. And Melissa is okay.
You're an idiot. Just no, shut up.
Listen, when I was a kid, for many years, I used to tell my parents that I wished I had a brother or sister.
Oh, because my God.
Okay? I used to tell them that. And so I did it because I was trying to guilt trip them into getting me a dog, and it worked. Okay? I said, if I can't have a brother or sister, could you at least get me a dog? So they got me a dog. But leading up to that, I used to talk about how much I wanted a sister. And then I met you, and I realized that I do not want a sister because you're like a sister to me, and you're awful. I hate you so much. Remember that time?
Like, why?
Remember that time we're doing the show? I don't know, Fish, if you were there. It was the night show, like, you know, after 10 or whatever.
If she was interning, then I wasn't there.
No, she was, okay, she was running the board at the time. Okay. Yeah, and right. I was just crap talking you because I have to, because you're awful. And some person called in to the studio and was mad at me because I was talking so badly about you on the air.
People came after him on the text line, like, Melissa, go punch that asshole in the face. Sucks, don't let him talk to you like that. How dare he be like whine. I think I still have the text message, like the screenshot of all those text messages. It was, I think I had to like get on the air and be like, I'm okay, guys. Not being harassed.
But the reality is you do kind of suck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And so do you. So it's mutual. Back to Bumble, though, really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because I need to know if the dating scene in Chicago is better than Boston, one. And two, I like the comment of calling out how you're not short, but saying you're not tall.
Owning it. He owned it right away.
Yeah.
Because there's a thing that I need you guys to know. In Boston,
Everybody's
short.
Yeah. Everybody's short and everybody.
That they're like 6 foot. And then you meet them and they're like 5'5".
Wait, what? Why is that?
People just lie about their height. So I really needed to call that out because I truly appreciate you being like, it is what it is.
Yeah, and like, I take more pride about how my brain works than my stature.
So, that's good, like, though.
Yeah, no, your brain,
like,
it's...
My height, like, I could be 5'4". Like, it would not bother me whatsoever just because, like, I'm a dope dude. Like,
you are a dope dude.
It just happens.
Do you know what's great about you?
I'm
pretty sure I know what would be great about dating you is you'd be perfect if, like, the Wi-Fi goes out. You know, there's... Like, I need something to entertain me. Okay, good, I've got Tony. Tony, throw one of your stupid conspiracies at me. Like, no, really, listen to this. I'm telling you that Sriracha was made by the Soviets, and they're trying to kill us with it. Okay, tell us about that, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always down for expanding conversation. I guess that's what makes me good at my job. Like,
yeah,
there was no stone left unturned that I will, even if it's dumb or redundant, that I will not look underneath and be like, oh, what's this thing right here?
When I said earlier about your brain, there might be a step missing. I think there are actually several steps, like, in the middle between point A and B. I think you're clearly, you know, doing a lot of work. You know, when you go to Google Maps and you're trying to map out your destination, you got the point A, point B, and you can add stops in the middle? Like, you're stopping at the gas station and then the bakery and then the flower shop and then the cemetery for some reason. And then you're back on track to go to wherever you're going. Man, your brain is all over the place,
all
and I love it.
All because you think oatmeal cookies are delicious. Yes. That's what it
They're
is.
Actually not. They're disgusting.
They are delicious.
And sure. I do love the idea, Rocky, of you on Bumble meeting up with some guy from, you know, he says he's 6 foot tall. You meet up and you're like, you're not 6 foot tall. He's like, I'm from Boston. What the f*** do you want from me? We're all shot.
I'm not a Catholic boy. What do you want from me?
You knew we were shot. We're all shot.
That's exactly how they talk.
And it doesn't, you've gotten used to it? Like when you go out, well,
I mean, they don't talk like that in the area that I live in because it's very bougie, but you go like 15 minutes outside the city and every single one of them talk like that.
That's a real thing, Tony. When I was, I went there one time. I actually really enjoyed Boston. I had a good time when I was there. And got off.
I wouldn't enjoy it as much.
You probably not. Probably.
There's not a lot of diversity around.
No, no, that's no. I had a perfectly fine time because I am pale as hell. Yeah, some of the people there are probably really awful. But I met a bunch of people from Medford, and that's how they all said it. But what it right? That's how they say it. It's Medford. Yeah. It's spelled Medford, but they say Medford. When I got off the plane, see, I used to think of Boston in the same way I used to think of Chicago, because like everybody who's not from Chicago, they think that Chicagoans all talk like the Superfan sketch, like the Ditka, you know, Sausage. Like they think everybody talks like that. And then you get there and maybe like 25% of people do. Maybe that's high. It might be like 20. But you go to Boston, the first five people I talked to in Boston, they all had that Boston accent, all of them.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like I was at the airport and I went up to a security lady and I said, "Where's the bathroom?" She's like, "Oh, it's right down there, down the hall. You make a right, door's on the right." I'm like, "Okay, man, all right, that's one."
The first weekend I came here, when I moved here, me and my sister were walking down the street and we're like, "Man, there's just no one. Where's all the Boston accents?" And then like we walked through a construction site and these two guys like, "You're in my way, man. Get the out of here. Doing?" And like we were like, "Oh, there it is. Okay." So, hardworking construction dudes. And man, wait, funny story. This is how people in Boston, that's why they're called masses. I hope it's okay that we swear on this podcast.
It's way too late for that, dude.
But I had friends come pick me up, and it was friends I knew from Chicago. They were with their friends in Boston. The Boston friend was driving. So he come down my street. It's a nice family street. And there's a guy that comes up behind him. It's a small street, so he was kind of double parked. Guy comes up behind him, honks the horn just to be like, "Hey, that's my parking spot," or whatever, because he was whatever. And immediately this dude I just met gets out of the car. He's like, "The f*** you honking at me for, bro? Like, the f***, I'm getting her bags in the car." I'm like, "Whoa, you guys, this is the street that I live on. You know what? That's the guy doing construction in my apartment building. And now he has to see me and know that you..." And then he was like, "Yeah, I did kind of just blow up for no reason. I don't know why I did that." And I'm like, "Because you're a m***hole. Because you are a m***hole." It is 0 to 100 so quick. Oh, if that was anyone in Chicago, they'd be like, "Oh, so sorry. So sorry. 5 minutes. I'll be two minutes. Just getting the bags. Just getting the bags. So sorry." Not here.
But though, I love it. They're, because you, people like that, you at least know where you stand. You know, and I think...
Yeah.
In Chicago, even, you know, compared to where I live now, everybody pretends to be nice to you and then they talk you as soon as you walk away. But because they don't have the balls to tell you what they really think. But like, even in Chicago, it's... I mean, there is friendliness, you know, Midwestern friendliness, whatever. But I think still in this city, it's in Chicago, people are more willing to tell you what they think of you than they are in a lot of other places. But Boston might be hyper intense about it.
It's hyper intense. There is not one friendly face around here, let me tell you. Not one.
Well, at least you know.
Now I run into people, I'm like, "The f- did you just bump into me for? Like, it's total opposite of what Chicago was like. Because you immediately just apologize for everything if you live in
Chicago. You know what? I just found out that you're rich.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I never put two and two together until, like, it was, like, literally right in front of my face.
Oh.
Because at our church, Rakitis now tows the vehicles we don't want in there. And I was like, wait,
here's a life
what?
Hack. Yeah.
That's
life
right.
Hack. We used to go to the Cubs games, and we had contracts with Wrigley and around Wrigley, and we would call Rakitis and say, well, my grandpa and be like, hey, we just parked the car outside of Wrigley, we're here, don't tow the car. Free parking all the time, every Cubs game, which is like the one place you can never get good parking, Wrigley Field. We had it all the time. That's a life
so
hack.
your family's towing company is in the city too, because I've seen the towing. How many garages do they have?
They're everywhere.
It's everywhere.
There's one on Archer, right?
Disney soon.
No,
stop with the Walt Disney.
We actually do know where Walt is. We kind of know.
They're like a couple generations away from being in the Illuminati. Like,
all right.
Yeah.
If a couple things go right, a couple more things go right.
Yeah,
like fish. You guys are gonna be with the Kennedys soon enough.
We are building a Kennedy empire.
I don't think that you are. I don't.
You're the 10 tow trucks
No.
The Rakitis chemicals reach everywhere, from as far as Wrigley to West Englewood.
I think they still have. It's everywhere. So South Side, downtown. Actually, not so much downtown, but like West Side, or West Town, I guess. Not West Side, but West Town. But a ton on the South Side more.
Well, guys, I'm glad we did this.
Pilot episode.
I'm glad we did this. I'm glad Lawrence asked us to. I don't know why, and he's gonna say, "What in the hell have I done?" But this does feel a lot like a Thursday night in June at about 10 p.m. You know, that's what this feels like back in the old days. Rocky and her crime syndicate family, and Fish with his just outrageous.
And then Ranji begging for a ride home because he doesn't know himself.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Rock.
About that.
Thank you for driving me home.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You needed to make yourself useful somehow, and you really did for me.
Hey, how about all the times that, like, Joe and I would be f***ing around in the studio, and you'd be like, you need to turn my mic on, Melissa. And I'd be like, oh, whoops, sorry, I forgot the first ended.
First day.
Actually, first day.
It was a first day.
Poor Rick Camp was doing the pre- and post-game for one of the preseason games. One of the Bulls preseason games, you know, a few weeks ago, and he was having trouble with something, and he's on the phone. He's like, Mitch is calling him, like technically something's going wrong. He's having all these issues, and I texted him and I go, hey Rick, I've been meaning to ask you, first day, and he's like, you know what, thanks buddy, I needed that, because he's just. He was just like beside himself. Everybody's all over his case, and it was actually his first day, so it was perfect. Well, I guess I'll let you guys go do whatever it is that you do. Fish has got to go convince his girlfriend that I don't know, Kennedy's still alive, actually, and that was just a watermelon. And
I interviewed her.
Your girlfriend?
I guess, yeah.
Oh God! I'm gonna go.
Wait for your podcast?
Yeah, I did a birthday podcast where I just talked to people that I enjoy talking to, and she made the cut.
Oh, I guess I didn't. I cool.
Yeah. Did Lawrence is on there. We talked about.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah. Rocky, did you get a call?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
From Fish?
Oh no! I didn't interview Rocky. We talked about Rocky.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is you said you did a podcast with people you enjoy talking to, and I...
Yeah, and you're not one of them.
I'm not one of them. I didn't get a phone call. Rocky, did you get a phone call?
I got a mention, and that's a
lot. It was 2.5 hours.
That's a lot of hours.
I had to shave it down. I was trying to shave it down.
Okay, cool, man.
It was actually a good podcast, but...
That's cool. Thanks a lot. Well, part two. You're one of my favorite people, and I got a hold of you. I'm not trying to guilt trip you or anything. You don't have to buy me a dog. I love you both, though.
I was when Ranji left and went to St. Louis, I was willing to move my entire life to produce for Ranji in St. Louis.
I wish you would have, pal. I really wish you would have.
The bigger and better thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's well, yeah, you're much better off now. Trust me. Good for you.
Imagine where you would be if you had taken all of your bags and went with Ranji, lived with him and his
Well,
little...
apparently I would have to move back, so.
Yeah, you'd... All right, I'm done with you. I'm so finished with the two of you. Hey, good
we
luck with
you.
Good luck with your new Bumble lady, Tony. Melissa, enjoy your Marvel movie and pizza tonight.
I already ate half of it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.